Bread may be one of the most transformative foods humans have ever created. Not because it transformed wheat into something delicious, although it certainly did. Bread transformed society. It transformed human beings. It took a wandering band of hunter-gatherers, made them into settled villages. Villages became towns, towns became cities. Cities began to trade with each other, develop written words of how to measure wheat. And long before, trade routes carried not only grain, but they also carried ideas, mathematics, music, religion, recipes, and eventually soccer. The story of bread isn't really the story of carbohydrates, it's the story of civilization. But if you spent any time on social media today, you've probably been told that bread is trying to kill you. The bread is part of the evil whites. Bread apparently causes obesity, diabetes, heart disease, inflammation, brain fog, dementia, and if you listen long enough, it'll probably be responsible for the fall of the Roman Empire. But for nearly 10,000 years, bread carried civilization on its shoulders. It fed armies. It built cities. It crossed oceans, allowing those ocean crossings to become reality. It inspired religions. It kept generations alive, even if today it's become the villain of the nutritional world. Thankfully, history and the evidence tell a very different story. Today on 4Q, we're going to make sense of the madness of bread. In our series to talk about the transformative cooking methods, this may be one that allowed us humans to stand upright and take notice. I'm Dr. Terry Simpson, and this is 4Q, Fork University, where we make sense of the madness, bust a few myths, and teach you a little bit about food and medicine. Last week, we talked about soup and why it may have been one of humanity's earliest public health interventions. Before that, we talked about fire and how cooking transformed food. Today, we're taking the next step in that history because bread simply isn't another food. It is actually one of humanity's first biotechnologies. And when I think about bread, I don't automatically think about wheat, but I think about my grandfather. Now, my grandfather was born in 1870. And he waited until his 50s before he had a child, kind of like me. This always makes our family tree kind of confusing. But during the Klondike Gold Rush, he headed north to Alaska in the 1890s looking for gold. And like thousands of prospectors, he carried something almost as valuable as the gold he hoped to find. Sourdough starter. In fact, that's where the old Alaska nickname sourdough comes from. Those miners guarded their sourdough starter carefully because if it froze, it died, which meant that many, and probably my grandfather, slept with it close to their bodies every night. Imagine that, a living culture of yeast and bacteria so valuable that it shared your sleeping bag. And of course, by the time you're hearing this, I'm probably going to be back in Alaska eating one of my favorite breakfasts in the world, the real sourdough pancake. I've searched in California, I've searched menus, restaurants. Nobody really makes them besides Alaska. And I'll probably spend part of that trip wondering if I can smuggle a little of that starter home as I transform it through Canada. Customs officials, if you're listening, I'm just kidding. But my grandfather didn't invent bread, but he inherited one of humanity's oldest technologies, and my grandfather, like many else, represent the ability to go to the ends of the earth on bread. One of the things I love about the history of food is that nobody really knows how the first loaf of bread came to be. We have good theories, we have archaeological clues, but nobody was standing there with a notebook saying, "Today, I invented sourdough." But I often wonder how that happened. Did someone grind wild grain between two stones, mix it with water, and make a porridge? Or perhaps they were distracted by something more important, like not becoming dinner for a lion or some other creature, and left the mixture sitting in the warm sun. Wild yeast drifted through the air, the mixture began to bubble, and instead of throwing it away, they thought, well, let's see what happens. I mean, our ancestors were mostly on the verge of starvation, so anything that looked edible, they ate. Or maybe someone spilled a little of that porridge onto a hot stone beside the fire. The water evaporated, the outside browned, and suddenly, what had been mush became something you could pick up with your hands. Or perhaps it was something else, entirely different. But that's the wonderful thing about history. Sometimes the evidence tells us exactly what happened, Sometime it simply invites us to imagine. We don't know what happened. But we noticed that somebody figured out that there were bubbles here, there was an aroma here, there was flavor here, and then they did something that separates human from every other species. They repeated the experiment. That's how civilizations move forward. Alexander Fleming was undoubtedly not the first person to notice that mold contaminating a petri dish caused the bacteria to not grow, but he noticed it and thought about it, and that ultimately gave us penicillin. Percy Spencer noticed a candy bar melting in his pocket while working on radar equipment, and that gave us the microwave oven. Ruth Wakefield expected chocolate to disappear in cookie dough, and instead she accidentally invented the Toll House chocolate chip cookie. Human history is full of happy accidents, but bread may be one of the happiest. Of course, if I had been there, the story might have ended differently. You see, I've tried making bread more times than I care to admit, and everybody tells me it's simple. Flour, water, salt, yeast, thyme. Apparently, there's one more ingredient, competence, because whenever I have made bread, I don't make those beautiful artisan loaves. I produce structural engineering. My bread is so hard it's better suited for the foundation of a building than dinner. And had I been in one of those first experiments, humanity might have never discovered bread. On the other hand, we would have probably invented bricks several thousand years earlier. But fortunately for your taste buds and civilization in general, someone far more talented than I was standing next to the fire. Instead, some hungry genius baked it, and that accident changed the world. Long before we understood microbes, DNA, or fermentation, humans were practicing biotechnology. Every sourdough starter is a tiny living ecosystem. Wild yeast produces carbon dioxide, lifting the bread. Lactic acid bacteria produce the acids that give sourdough its characteristic flavor while changing the chemistry of the dough. Thousands of years before CRISPR, humans had already recruited microorganisms to do work for us. And that transformation did more than improve dinner. Grain could now be stored for months or even years. The successful harvest became insurance against bad season. Permanent settlements appeared because people no longer had to follow food every day. Those settlements became towns, cities, civilizations, trade routes developed. Ideas traveled along the sacks of grain. Bread didn't create civilization by itself, but it's difficult to imagine civilization without it. Some of the first written codes that we have, like Hammurabi's Code, describe the use of accurate weights and measures, not for measuring gold or silver, but for wheat, because the trade of wheat and other grains was terribly important to civilization. Civilization gave us laws, and laws gave us what we have today. The Romans understood something else. People became remarkably unhappy when they ran out of bread. Bread and circuses wasn't simply a clever phrase. It was a Caesarian policy. Keep the people fed, give them entertainment, and society remained stable. Take away the bread and suddenly entertainment wasn't as entertaining. And that brings us to another history famous moment. You've heard the comment about Marie Antoinette saying, "They have no bread, let them eat cake." Now, she most certainly didn't say that, but the French Revolution was started because the people of Paris had no bread. Now, that quotation probably existed before she became queen, was attached to her later because of the revolution likes to have memorial stories, which is unfortunate. But imagine, had she actually introduced France to enough remarkable pastries, perhaps history would have remembered her as a queen of croissants instead. Although given the mood of revolutionary fever in France, I'm not convinced even the perfect panel of chocolate would have saved her neck. The quotation survived because bread mattered. And when bread became scarce, governments trembled, from Rome to France to even today. Let's take a step back. If you are lucky enough to go to Pompeii, you'll find that bakeries have been preserved among volcanic ash. Archaeologists have discovered ovens, mills, and there are even loaves of breads that you can look at. Try not to sample them. They're a little bit hardened. But think about that. While Vesuvius was changing history forever, a baker was simply making tomorrow's bread. Ordinary work, extraordinary importance. Which brings us back to today, where social media has somehow decided bread is the enemy. I hate to tell you this, but science and data disagrees. When research regularly study people who eat whole grains, they consistently find lower rates of heart disease, lower rates of type 2 diabetes, lower rates of obesity, colorectal cancer, premature death, and waist sizes that are smaller. Whole grains remain one of the cornerstones of fundamental nutrition and the Mediterranean diet, not because nutrition committees are sentimental about what food we eat or about wheat, but because decades of evidence continue to point to the same direction. The whole grain is an elegant little package. The bran contains fiber that feeds our microbiome. The germ contains healthy fats, vitamins, minerals, and the endosperm provides the energy. Refine the grain, and much of what makes it remarkable disappears. And you get that white bread that people call wonder because we wonder where the nutrition went. Our ancestors probably didn't struggle to reach their fiber goals. I suspect the original Simpson wandering around 50,000 years ago wasn't complaining about diverticulitis. He was eating roots, seeds, berries, legumes, and wild grains. Today we buy fiber supplements because we have forgotten to eat many of the foods that naturally supplied it. One of my favorite lunches is almost embarrassingly simple. A slice of good sourdough, whole wheat bread, a little peanut butter, and remember, peanuts are legumes, and some stone fruit. Or tear off a piece of warm whole grain bread, pour a little extra virgin olive oil onto a plate, grind on a little bit of pepper, maybe a touch of salt, and maybe a little balsamic vinegar, and enjoy one of the simplest pleasures that the Mediterranean has ever offered. Good food doesn't need to be complicated. Now, let's rescue gluten. Gluten has become one of the most misunderstood proteins in nutrition. Gluten gives bread elasticity. It traps gas produced during fermentation, so the loaf rises instead of becoming a brick. If you have celiac disease, gluten is genuinely harmful and should be absolutely completely avoided. But that's real medicine. Gluten does not cause problems in people who don't have celiac disease. It is not the villain social media made it out. Gluten isn't poison, it's engineering. Gluten is the reason your pizza can stretch and they can toss it in those marvelous ways. Another way we've made bread even better. One of the greatest mistakes we've made in nutrition is blaming an ancient food for what we've done to it. We took whole grains, we refined it, we sweetened it, we preserved it, we packaged it, and then we declare the original ingredient guilty. That's a bit like blaming the olive because someone made a bad salad dressing. Bread has become more than food. Along with wine, it became sacred to much of the world. Grain transformed into bread. Grapes transformed into wine, and today billions of people see those two foods as symbol of life, sacrifice, community, and hope. And whether you view them through the lens of faith or simply good cooking, it's remarkable that two transformed foods have carried so much meaning for so many generations. As for me, I've always had a soft spot for Thor. Perhaps it's because of the recent soccer or I'm headed to Alaska, but those Norse gods always seemed refreshingly straightforward. A fellow carrying a hammer at least lets you know where you stand. But the real lesson isn't about bread. It's about transformation. Fire transformed food. Soup transformed leftovers. Bread transformed civilization. And yes, when you go to Italy, the bread tastes different, not because the wheat is different, not because we poison our breads or they don't use glyphosate. Everybody does. It's that you're walking 30,000 steps today. Yep. Bread can transform your vacation, too. And if you haven't had bread in France, you're just not living. But the more humans learn to transform food, the more we transformed ourselves. So the next time someone tells you bread is poison, ask them one question, which bread? Because a warm slice of whole grain sourdough dipped in a good olive oil isn't just one of life's great pleasures. It's one of humanity's greatest transformations. And when you look around and see the city you're sitting in, know that that was made possible because science happened by accident. This episode was researched and written by me, Dr. Terry Simpson. And if you're thinking about changing your life and eating a more Mediterranean-style diet, please see your board-certified physician and a registered dietitian, not a chiropractor, not a functional medicine doctor or holistic person, which are basically witch doctors trying to scare you out of your wallet, in my opinion. But see a real doctor. You deserve that. All things audio are done by my friends at Simpler Media and the pod god himself, Mr. Evo Terra. Please do see the blog associated with this at 4Q.com, yourdoctorsorders.com, and I've written far more about this in my Substack at drsimpson.com. Producer Girl Productions make me sound far more interesting than I am. Have a good week, everybody, and don't forget, get the bread. I made a deal with the baker. I'd take out appendixes, and he'd bake bread. That deal seems to work great. He has a nice incision, and I have great sourdough. Have a good week, everybody. Hey, Evo, I know already you're looking for Brett songs, and I'm sure you have found one or have written one. And if it's called Rise, I'll know exactly what you did.
Yeah, I got no idea what you're talking about. But I did find something that's a little interesting. Now, you might remember this from when it was first released. You know, like 1930, whatever.
I knew you were coming, I'd have baked a cake. Baked a cake, baked a cake. If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked a cake. How'd you do, how'd you do, how'd you do?